Okay, can you please turn to the person seated right next to you for a while? Tell that person, Happy Resurrection Sunday. Come on. Wala naman mga may butas sa kamay dyan, ano? Wala naman siguro, ano? We just had a long weekend. I don't know how you spent your long weekend. Okay, it's Resurrection Sunday, and we have something here this evening. If last week we've talked about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's quite, you know, fascinating because this evening, you'll have to bear with me if this might sound like a teaching here tonight. Because what we're going to look at here are basically like the tail end of the Apostles' Creed series. But the tail end involves this one and next week. Okay, so what we're going to talk about here tonight is like somehow, okay, to a certain degree, an introduction to what we're going to talk about next week. All right, so make sure, tell the person beside you, do not miss out next Sunday's preaching. All right, because we're going to talk about hell. All right, that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about judgment. We're going to talk about hell. And the truth is, we actually can talk about God's love in light of, you know, the topic about hell, all right, or judgment for that matter. But anyway, what we're celebrating here today is basically the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. All right, Christ is risen, and I feel like I stumbled upon something last night. I feel like one church got it all wrong. Okay, instead of saying Christ is risen, they wrote something different. And this is quite awkward because they said, Chris is risen. I don't know whoever Chris is. So if you're here and you're named Chris, certainly we're not here to worship you, but I'm glad that you're alive. All right? We are looking at the Apostles' Creed for the benefit of those who happen to join us for the first time. We're looking at the Apostles' Creed, and we are down to the fourth, okay, installment of this series. And if you must know, if you happen to join us for the first time, the Creed basically, or the Apostles' Creed specifically, okay, there are a lot of creeds out there, the Nicene Creed, and one of those creeds that we have, in fact, Jesus is Lord is a creed, okay? And the Apostles' Creed basically is like the summary of the New Testament message. And we have been looking at this for 4 weeks now, and we're going to end next week, finally. And it's just fitting to talk about the last installment of the series talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but for now, we're going to talk about our resurrection, all right? So let's look at the creed for a while. You might want to recite this with me if you want to. It says here, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. That's what we've talked about last week. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. Praise God. Amen. Okay, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven to judge and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge. Take note, he will come to judge the living and the dead. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Okay, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. It says there, amen. All right, this is basically the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to look at this part of the creed right here tonight. We're going to look at the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body. That doesn't talk about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That talks about your body. All right. Do you folks know that your Bible tells you that you're going to resurrect? All right. So I do understand, you know, this is our third service for today, and I was preaching at 10 a.m., 4 p.m. To a certain degree, a lot of people are quite shocked that, you know, we will resurrect. But basically, that's what the Bible teaches us, okay? When everything is said and done, when Jesus comes back, guess what? We will resurrect from the grave. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's not something that you have to be afraid of, okay? That's something that you have to be excited about. You will know later, okay? Now, and then we're going to talk about life everlasting, okay? Learn your Bibles with me for a while. John chapter 5, verses 24 to 29. Look at this one. It says here, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Okay, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Verse 26, it says here, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not marvel, do not be shocked at this. All war, an hour is coming. Catch this. For an hour is coming when all war in the tombs, cemetery, will hear His voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. All right, now, here's what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to look at the creed, this part of the creed. And like what I told you a while ago, this part of the creed basically talks about three things. Okay, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Now, we're going to camp on the second one simply because in length about the first one, which is the forgiveness of sins. But anyway, we will still look into it. Okay, let's talk about the forgiveness of sins for a while. Who am I? You can honestly say that you are forever or eternally grateful for you being here and you are a forgiven person. Okay, God has forgiven you. I don't know with you, but I always come into a realization of how I am a recipient of God's love, grace, and mercy. Look at this one. As a church, far be it from us to be a gospel deficient church. Meaning to say, the only way we can love God is if we understand how much He loves us. And to tell you, for everything that you have done 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 months ago, 5 years ago, you have been forgiven. Right? Okay, we have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show you a picture that I saw on Twitter, a picture that has gone viral since it was posted. And have you guys seen this picture somewhere on social media? Okay, this is a picture of someone, of a kid who was texting, okay, not knowing that there was a bat flying towards him. Baseball bat. Okay, hindi paniki. Okay, a baseball bat flying towards him. Do you guys play baseball? In a stage, basically, you know, baseball is popular. Okay, baseball is popular. And what happened here, I don't know when this was posted, but I think this was just days ago. There was a friendly game between two teams. They were playing baseball, and the guy was about to hit the ball. Unfortunately, he lost grip of the bat, and the bat went flying towards the crowd. And in a split second, the baseball bat right there was about to hit the boy who was just texting. Okay? And it was his birthday during that day. And out of instinct, a fatherly instinct, the dad just went there and spread his arms. And in fact, he had bruises all over his arms because of what happened. Look at that one. That's the baseball bat right there. And the aftermath is this one. Look at the cute boy right there. Hindi man lang tinamaan kahit sombrero. Okay, so he was spared from the flying baseball bat. In fact, in the kid's interview, he said, well, all I care right now is that I'm popular. So, crazy kid. Anyway, during the interview of the father, okay, the dad, here's what he said. He said, look at this one. He didn't have a whole lot of time to think about it. He told WFTV, I don't know what is that, on Thursday, it was dad mode. That's what he said. He said, it was just dad mode. I went to stretch my arms because it was dad mode. While everyone else was ducking, I went to stretch my arms. I want us to catch this. Have you ever thought about, okay, what might happen to us if God didn't do a dad mode? If the Bible is very clear that it is a universal fact that sin equals death, can you imagine your life right now if God had not forgiven you? At the end of the day, we are a group of people, okay, who are forever and eternally grateful for having been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, that we have been forgiven by God Himself. John chapter 5, verse 24, it says here, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever, can everybody say whoever? That talks about any person in any time, like in any place in the world, in any city or in any tribe. It says here, whoever hears my word. Catch that? Hears my word. You know what you're doing right now? You're hearing His word. Hears my word and believe Him. This gives us a picture that hearing is not enough to get you saved. At the end of the day, you will have to make a decision to believe. And believe Him who sent me has eternal life. Then here's what He said. It says here, He does not come into judgment. He there was about you and me. It talks about you and me. The Bible says we will not be judged for our sins. Okay, you can honestly say that at a certain point in your life, you have sinned. Kahit ganyan lang ka konti. Parang ngayon, sinungaling ka. All of us have sinned. And basically, at the end of the day, we will have to pay for our sins. But Jesus Christ basically intervened. God orchestrated everything, and He intervened, and guess what? We have been forgiven. It's basically as easy as that. Then it says there, but has passed from death to life. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, it says here, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at the word peace with God. Okay? Now, I want us to catch this. Every single one of us, before you were reconciled with God, you were an enemy of God. It's as simple as that. At the end of the day, even logic will tell you that there are only two camps, God's camp and the devil's camp. So if you're not found in God's camp, you are then an enemy of God. Now that you've switched side, you are in God's camp, you are now at peace with God. But it happens not because of your own initiative. It doesn't happen because of your own effort. It says here, it is because of what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's as simple as it can be. It is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was very confident. He was very bold in saying that no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what He said. Okay, there's a form of exclusivity there. It can only happen through our Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever you start talking about justification, forgiveness basically is one component of that. Okay, the forgiveness of our sins. But I want us to understand that we serve a God who's not just interested in forgiving you and me. There's something that He wants to do in your life. In fact, there's something that He has planned out for your bodies right now. It's all aligned with His grand plan for us when everything is said and done. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says here, to Him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him, okay, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, great, okay, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Simple. Now, again, it doesn't end there. In fact, the creed tells us after forgiveness of sins, something also will happen to our bodies. Guess what? There is what we call the resurrection of the body. And again, I do understand this is something new to you, for some of you. I am not talking about the body of Jesus Christ. That's what we've talked about last week. I am now talking about your body. Let me just try to explain this for a while. I have here you love cars, or you're praying for a brand new car. You're praying for a brand new car. We've been praying for some of your motorcycles, your cars, your prayer requests on the envelope. If you love cars, I love cars, you know, car magazines. Hanggang dun muna tayo. Okay. Hanggang magazine at newspaper muna tayo. Okay, but anyway, I have here a picture of the 2016 brand new Toyota Fortuner. If you would notice, I haven't seen one running around Dumaguete because this was just released, I think, a month ago. Maybe in Manila or in Cebu. But I haven't seen one in Dumaguete unless you have one and you can brag about it later. But anyway, this is the brand new Toyota Fortuner. The top-of-the-line variant of this car, okay, if you would notice, it is still in the showroom, in the shop, okay? So, hindi nyo pwedeng kunin yan. Nasa shop pa yan. The top-of-the-line variant of this car is pegged at 1.7 million pesos, I think. 1.7, CCU, di ba? Di ba, Charlene, kaya? O, kaya. Ilang kaya mo? Isa? Dalawa? Tatlo? Alright. 1.7 million. Now, here's the fact. When it is still in the showroom, it is pegged at that price. I want you to catch this. As it is true with any car, the moment this car rolls out of the casa, the moment this car rolls out of the shop, it starts to decrease in value. Catch that? You start using this for 1 month, you cannot sell it at 1.7 million anymore. The moment it hits the ground right outside the shop, it starts to decrease in value. That is just a fact. I want you to understand this. the day that you were born in the delivery room. You guys remember that? Of course not. The day you were born in the delivery room in a hospital or house somewhere. I want you to catch this. For the lack of better term, you start your process of decaying. Meaning to say you quote-unquote decrease in value. Catch that. Hindi ka niniwala. At age 3, people catch flu. At age 7, at age 8, people catch chicken pox or German measles. Okay? At age 13, what do you catch? Pimples. Three, 10, 17, 20, 30, you would notice that you are becoming sickly for that matter, even if you are a person who loves organic. Okay, you don't eat rice, you eat quinoa, whatever. You only eat free-range chicken. I mean, you're the healthiest person out there. The truth of the matter is, you will live up until a full life of how many years old? Let's say 85 years old. After which, just like the Toyota Fortuner, after how many years, it's going to be like this car right here. You will be dead. That is just a fact. Our life will dwindle. Our life will decrease. We will be sick here, we will be sick there. But I want you to catch this. If this is our, can you go back to the car? If we found our fate right here, that one of these days we will be found in a cemetery, that is a fact. But there is such a thing as an intervention by God. Let's say at age 21, someone preaches the gospel to you. Guess what? That is God's intervention in your life. At age 23 or at age 28 or maybe at age 37 or some of you maybe at 72 years old, someone preaches the gospel to you. You hear, just like what we said a while ago, you hear and you believe. That is God's intervention. So what happens to you now? Now you are saved. But guess what? Your spirit is saved. And you are also being saved. Meaning to say, you are saved and you are being saved. Time will come. Okay, time will come automatically. The moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you are a saved person. Your spirit is saved. But guess what? God is outworking. He's not just interested with your spirit. He is also interested with the salvation of your bodies. There is something that God can do to you that Pond's Miracle Aging Cream cannot do to you. There's something that God can do in your life and in your body that Vicky Bello cannot do to you. You don't have to mask things because God is going to create something new out of you. At the end of the day, we will be like this brand new Fortuner right here. Guess what? We will be like that forever. Siya nga po pala, pag kailangan nyo ng kotse, sales agent pa ako ng Toyota. I'm just kidding. No need for maintenance. No need for checkups. No need for pills. No need for Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, maintenance like I have. Our bodies will be made like brand new forever. We're excited for that. I challenge you to read your Bible to find out that I am not lying to you. Okay, if you read your Bible, you study these texts that I'm giving you, you would come to understand that these are basically real events that's basically going to happen in your life. John chapter 5, verses 28 to 29. This is what Jesus have to say about this event. I want you to catch this. Here's what he said. He said, "Do not marvel at this." Many say, "Do not be shocked." Do not be shocked at this. Look at this one. Here's what he said. For an hour is coming. Take note, it didn't say when. It just said it's going to happen. So our business is not to speculate when these events are going to happen. For an hour is coming, I want us to catch this. When all were in the cemetery, when all were in the tombs, an event will happen wherein, even if we're all in the cemetery, here's what's going to happen. We will hear His voice and come out. Catch that? Parang ayaw niyo maniwala. Kasi God, kausapin niyo. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. It's not just in the book of John. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 also talks about this. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. This to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. John chapter 5, it talks about two things. Those who have done good and those who have done evil. Two comes. Are you hearing me? Here's what the Bible says. At the end of the day, when everything is said and done, there are only two groups of people in the world. Those who have done good and those who have done evil. Those who have done good and those who have done evil. I want to qualify this for a while because I want us to really embrace this with all integrity. When I say those who have done good, I am not saying that you have to do good things to earn your salvation. The only good thing that you could do in your life to be part of the done good group is to put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mav, can you please join me here for a while? Just join me here. Now, the only done good thing that you can do in your life is not for you to what? To try to earn things to be part of this group right here. All you have to do is put your faith in the done good thing that Jesus basically did for you. If you are found in Him, guess what? You are in this category right here. Thank you, ma'am. If at the end of the day, you are one who has placed your faith in the finished, take note, finished. Remember what Jesus said when He was on the cross. It is finished. He didn't say it is incomplete. So you don't have to nail yourself to the cross. It's a done deal. He said, it is finished. So all I have to do is align myself to what He did. Then I'm part of the done good group. Even on the contrary, even if you are the most generous person in the world, even if you do not curse God, even if you're the friendliest in your batchmates, among your batchmates, even if you're, you know, in the world's category, the goodest person out there, if you are not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're part of the done evil group. That is just the reality of life. We cannot say that God is unfair for doing this. Because the truth is, you don't want God to really be quote-unquote fair. Because if God were really, really fair for that matter, then all of us will be on this group right here. He just created a way for us to be out of this group. Are you folks with me? How easy would it be for us to jump from here to there? It's as easy as believing, repenting of our sins, and believing His finished work on the cross. Why do we have to side in Jesus Christ? It's as simple as this one. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. He lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. Now, talking about our resurrection, can everybody say, my resurrection? Okay. Talking about your resurrection now, ay kasama pala ako dyan. Talking about our resurrection, what are the events that are going to transpire when these things will start to happen? Here's what the Bible says. Look at this one.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says here, "For the Lord himself will descend." Clear enough. "For the Lord himself will descend." Meaning say, at a certain point in time, he ascended. That's what we're going to talk about next week. His descending will from heaven, second coming. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Okay? "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout," the Bible says. Of course, not with that voice, with a better voice. Okay, there's going to be a chorus of shout all over the world. And then after which, here's what's going to happen. "With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Are you folks catching this? It says that a time will come. Time will come wherein Jesus will reappear. He will come back again. And the Bible says there's going to be a shout that's going to be heard all across the world. And then there's going to be sounds of trumpets. And then the event says that the dead will rise. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. It says here, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Ladies and gentlemen, there will come a point in time wherein we're going to hear sounds like this one.
Pasensya na po. Medyo naubusan na hininga yung angel. Ang birang angel na ito, naglaro pa.
Well, for us, as we start talking about this, it's a little strange. It's a little funny, but I tell you what, time will come wherein, when these things will start to happen, it's not going to be funny. I mean, that's just a faint sound. In fact, what I'm trying to describe right now doesn't do justice to what's really going to happen. There's something more. There's something deeper. This is just for our finite mind to understand. There will come a time that all of these events will take place. And I want us to understand this. Death is an individual experience. Right? For example, you know, there are those who died in the 1800s. You know when Jose Rizal died? He died in the year 1896. There are those who died in the 1950s. There are those who died, what? In the 1970s. There are those who died yesterday. There are those who are dying right now. Death is an individual experience. But I tell you what, the resurrection of the body is a corporate reality. It is a corporate reality. It's going to happen universally. That we will all resurrect from the grave. If Justin Bieber gives you goosebumps, I don't know that when these things start to happen, I don't know what this will give you. All I know is that when these things will start to happen, there will only be two reactions in this world. It's either terror or joy. Jesus Christ. Terror will be felt by people who have resisted the Lord Jesus Christ. Terror will be experienced by those who have blasphemed and cursed his name. Terror will be experienced by those who resisted the Holy Spirit. They will like come to a point where say, oh my goodness, it's actually true. What my friend was saying is actually true. But ladies and gentlemen, the other aspect of that is that there's going to be an overflowing joy. And joy happens to those who are waiting for Him. And that's talking about you and me, my friend. There's going to be terror or joy. But for us who have been forgiven, redeemed by God, there's going to be an indescribable joy. Amen. There's going to be an indescribable joy. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 to 43 and 49. Have you ever wondered, if you are like me, have you ever wondered how your body will look like when you resurrect? Naisip niyo ba yun? Naisip niyo ba kung ano magiging itsura niyo? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, it says here, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, meaning to say, those that were buried, the body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Then it says here, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Dishonor, kasi minsan may turok ng karayom dito, kasi galing sa ospital. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. These verses right here talks about three things about your future bodies. It says here, look at this one, it is imperishable, it is glorious, and it is powerful. And that is basic bodies that you're going to be like. You're going to be imperishable. Okay, you're going to be, your bodies are going to look glorious. No need for insecurity. And your bodies will be powerful. Let's look at the first one for a while. Okay, let's look at the first one for a while. Imperishable. Let me just make something clear as we proceed. We have been such disciples of Hollywood that sometimes the reason why we don't get to grasp these things is that whenever we think about being raised from the dead, we always think about zombies. Guess what? You will not be raised as zombies. You're not going to look like zombies. Iniisip niyo mga zombies, saka papanood niyo yun ng The Walking Dead. Di ba yung mga zombie na agnas yan, nahuhulog yung mata, yung ngipin? Pwede ba naman yun, erase ka ni Jesus tapos nalaglag yung mata mo? Ay, Lord, time sa akong mata. Lord, mauna ko, Lord, mapistuso. Your bodies will be raised imperishable. Hindi ka magiging mukhang white lady. Hindi ka magiging mukhang tiyanak. Hindi ka magiging mukhang kapre. It's going to be your bodies right now. So when you get raised from the dead, you are still yourself. Eh, basta yung sayang naman, kala ko si Christina Aguilera na. Hindi, ikaw pa rin yan. Akala mo, swerte ka masyado ha. Our bodies will be redeemed. God is not going to replace you. Okay? When you get resurrected from the dead, you will recognize yourself. Ah, it's still me. And yung parang, sino ako? Next naman. Tumahimik ka. Ikaw pa rin yan. It's not going to be a different kind of body. It's just that you're going to be a redeemed body. You know what? This should not baffle our mind. Why? Because we're so stuck with our 80 years here on earth. Our mindset are fixed here. Guess what? You are a supernatural being. When God created Adam and Eve, this was His intention to have a glorious body. The problem was that because they sinned, that's the reason why we are in these bodies right now. That's why we're getting sick. That's why we're getting perspiration and all of these things. But time will come, our bodies will be imperishable for that matter. Look what John Piper has to say about this. In his book, Future Grace, he said, the old body will become a new body, but it will still be your body. There will be continuity. God is able to do what we cannot imagine. The resurrection is not described in terms of a totally new creation, but in terms of a change of the old creation. Some of you are thinking right now, can you show the picture of the cemetery? Some of you are thinking right now, but people in the cemetery are now dust. That's true, they're now dust. But guess what? When God created us from dust, amen. Even human technology tells us na kahit man lang dandruff mo, alam na yung DNA mo. Kahit man lang patay na kuko mo, andun na yung DNA mo. How much more si God? We will be raised imperishable. Not just that. I think a lot of you like the second part, especially the ladies here tonight. Our bodies will not just be imperishable, our bodies will be glorious. Glorious. Ano po ibig sabihin nun? Darating po ang araw ng parang lahat para tayong nag-overdose sa glutathione. Whenever you look at the word glorious in the Bible, you study the word glorious. Glory always pertains to something that is bright. So, it gives me a picture the time will come that, you know, there's going to be brightness in me. You're going to exude a different kind of aura. Pero yung aura na yan, para kay Lord, hindi pang flirt. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says here, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You're going to have a glorious body for that matter. How does that look like? I have here a picture of Mav. It's one of our upcoming campus missionaries. I don't know, but I just feel like when he gets resurrected from the grave, he would look like something like this guy right here. Puede. Can you show the next picture of Mav? Glorified body. Glorified body. God is gracious and merciful and loving. Look at a picture of Tom right here. This is Tom. Yung next picture, to, hindi to pinilit. Tingnan nyo. Hindi pinilit yan. Diba? Hindi pinilit. Parang namut lang. Parang nalaglag sa upuan. Ano? I have another picture of Tom right there. Tom, one of our campus missionaries. Tingnan mo yung next one. Well. Sino artista? Yung first or second? Ito. The first? I thought this is Tom. The next guy, ito medyo, hindi naman na-challenge si Lord. Hindi naman na-challenge si Lord. Sabi ni Lord, parang, pwede, ako naman si God eh. So, etong guy na to, look at this guy. Sabi ni Lord, pwede. Meron tayong pwedeng gawin dito. May paglalagyan ka. Look at that one right there. Can you go to the next one? Ayan. Walang pinagkaiba na mo yan. Glorious body. Next. Oh, see? Last one. Wacky face. Next one. Glorious one. Oh, see? Well, I was looking at those pictures a while ago. Inisip ko lang, grabe si Alden Richards, ano? Ano na lang kaitsura niya pag naging glorious body siya? Nakaka-insecure pa rin pala. Nakaka-insecure. Now, of course, all of those pictures, you know, those are nonsense. That's not what's going to happen. You're going to be recognizable as you are. Okay? So don't ever dream of becoming someone else. You will be who you are. It's just that you're going to look so glorious. Okay? And your bodies will be so imperishable. In fact, Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 says that we are recognizable to each other. So you'll still get to recognize your friends. Okay? But I think you won't be giving high five to them because you're so consumed and caught up with God's presence in your life. Glorious body. Who only loves to have, loves the thought of having a glorious body in the future? Right. So when you go home later, look at yourself in the mirror, tell yourself you are a glorious person. Gawin niyo yung mamaya. Pero that would mean that you'll have to die. Again, at a certain point in your life, then you're gonna be resurrected. It doesn't just say we're going to be imperishable and glorious. It also says that we're going to be powerful. We're going to be powerful for that matter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, it says here, our bodies will transform our lowly bodies. Your bodies right now, look at your body right now. That body is a lowly body. Lowly body that will be like his glorious body. Now, look at this one. Your current lowly body right now is subject to what? It is subject to sickness, fatigue, injuries, sickness, even death. It is subject to that. But guess what? Time will come wherein you're going to have a body that knows no sickness. There will be no more visits to the hospitals. There will no more be visits to pharmacies. In the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here and you're a business person, this is a bad business. You'll have to close down. A body that knows no sickness. Why is that so? Why is that so? It's because Jesus bore all the curses and sickness unto himself. By his stripes, we are healed. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't just end with the forgiveness of our sins and the resurrection of the body. It talks about the last one, which is what all of us basically would want for our life. We're talking about everlasting life. Eternal life, life everlasting. Meaning to say, that body that you're gonna have, imperishable, glorious, and powerful, that is not just for prom night. Remember during prom night? Okay, you buy a brand new pair of clothes, brand new polo, for the first time sa buhay mo, nag-deodorant ka nung prom mo. But this time around, guess what? It's not for a one-night event. It's going to be for all eternity. All eternity. But I want us to understand, eternal life doesn't really fit well to so many people. There are people who don't believe in eternal life. They believe in annihilationism, meaning to say, you exist now, you cease to exist afterwards, and that's it. There are people who believe in reincarnation. I might be human now, I did good thing, I might be a good butterfly in the future. That's not what the Bible teaches. Bible teaches Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Live once, die once. After that, we'll have to face the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for how we live our life. Make sure you are part of the done good group. Again, by faith in his finished work on the cross. You know, it's a sad reality that I want us to get a good hold on this evening. John chapter 5 verse 24. Before I go there, I want us to read this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life. Look at the word believe right there. What is the prerequisite to having a glorified body? What is the prerequisite to having an imperishable body? What is the prerequisite to having a powerful body? What is the prerequisite to having eternal life with Christ? It's as right here, believe. Believe. As simple as that. You have been called believers because God would want us to believe by faith. We were not called achievers. We're not called doers. We're called believers. If you're asking me right now, how much belief should I have to get myself saved? Let me answer that question by showing you this man right here. This man is not Jesus Christ. If you remember, this was the thief beside him on the cross. Acknowledge Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus told him? Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. I want to end this by showing you something for a while. Let me just try to illustrate something. Look at this one. Let's say this is you right here. Mav, can you join me for a while? Can you help me out? Can you just hold this? Let's say this is your life right here. Look at this one. That's your life right there. Let's talk about your timeline. Your timeline. Can everybody say my timeline? Look at your timeline right here. Here's your timeline. Let's do this for a while. Then we're going to end with this one. Look at this one. This is your timeline right here. I want you to catch this. Ay, sorry po. Ay, sorry. Itong timeline na to, masyadong ma-fun. This is your timeline, friend. In that, let's throw it there. Ayan po yung buhay natin. In that timeline, I want you to catch this. In that timeline, this is all that you have. You have your shot here. Again, going back, organic. Let's say you want to make it to Guinness Book of World Records, the longest living man ever on the earth. Let's peg it at 125. Okay? Because you don't eat piatos or cheapy. You don't eat soft, you don't drink soft drinks. Let's say your 125 is right here. Like your 125 is right here. Let's try to tie this right now. So here's your 125 years. Here's your 125 years. This is your shot. Your shot. In your 125 years, in your 80 years, the gospel has been preached to you. You have been given opportunities and opportunities to respond. The problem is, we invest here, we only live for the life here in the 120 or 80 years that we have. After which, this is very clear, you die. There's your 80 years. There's your 120 years. Guess what, friends? There's your eternal life. Forever. Think about this. Use your mind. Forever. I want you to catch this. All of us basically will have eternal life. It's a matter of who you spend it with. You put your life in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking about an eternal life in the presence of God. You refuse God in your life. Ooh. I was hospitalized for 1 week because of dengue 2 years ago. I just hate it. I feel like it's a big torment. Can you imagine? As what the Bible teaches, this is not to scare you. Being tormented. Tormented. For the rest of eternity. As I end this, I want to talk to two groups of people right now. First one, I want to talk to those group of people here who haven't given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. For your own sake, make a decision. Make a decision, not because you want to skip hell for that matter, but because you understand how much Jesus loved you, that He died for you, that He resurrected to show you that everything that He said He is, He basically validated those claims. All you have to do is believe in His finished work. I'm going to talk to the Christians now. If you're here and you're a Christian, don't you ever think, I can do all of these crazy things now? Because anyway, I am forgiven, I will be forgiven, and I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? That is true. But it only means one thing. You don't have the Lordship of Jesus in your life. Stop offending God by dishonoring His word. Like what I told you, your life as a Christian is the only preaching that other people will get to hear. Can you imagine if we are all a group of people who have a mindset of eternity? Knowing and understanding that we have been loved by God and we don't deserve that love. If you're here and you are a daughter of God, you are a son of God, and you are a child of God, I only have, like what Paul said, he will not command, but he will make an appeal. I appeal to you, live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Live a life that is worthy of the gospel. I will never judge you. I will never judge you. That's not my role. My role is to admonish you, to encourage you. So I want to make an appeal to you right now. If you're here and you're a Christian, live a life that is worthy of the gospel. Amen.